Good morning. We discussed last week by Arichos the difference between Ein Edeim Neschayati and Ein Edeim Peratich. If you know that you've borrowed money from someone and you don't remember if you've paid back, so there we say Bari V'Shem and Bari Yadif, and you're chayiv to pay. On the other hand, if you're unsure whether you borrowed, even though the other person is very confident in asserting that you do owe him the money, nevertheless, Bari v'shem alav bari adif, Beznin cannot force you to pay. There's a chiyuv latis de shemayim, but Beznin cannot force you to pay. Now there's a machlokes, which we also mentioned last week, about what happens if the person is not sure if he repaid, but it's a shema toiv. It's loy havalei l'meida. It's not his fault. He's not expected to know. So here some places can say the halacha is different, that since you have no way of knowing, you're not expected to know, even though you know you've borrowed, you still will be pater. Others argue and say, you're chayiv, it's machlokes, there's no clear hachra. However, the Nesivos explains that in a case where it's your fault that you don't know, there everyone agrees that you're chayiv. His case is, you hired a worker, he did the work, he did the job, you owe him the money. Now, instead of paying him directly, you made arrangements for a third party to go ahead and pay the workers. Now, if something went wrong, and the workers are saying they were never paid, that third party said, I did pay them. So you end up with a situation where you hire the workers, you owe them the money. There, as far as payment, they're saying they were never paid. This third party is saying they did cut the check, they did pay the workers. So you are a shema. You're a shema toiv. There's no way for you to know what really happened because you weren't there when this worker is dealt with a third party. It's a shema toiv. Nevertheless, Zakh the Nesivos, since you're the one that created the mess, who asked you to bring this third party in? You hired the workers, pay them. You decided to bring in this third party and create a situation where now you're not going to be quite sure what happened. So, I mean, it's not us to do that, but nevertheless, if there you cannot hide behind that shema, and there you're going to be chayev l'kulayama. Now, to end off with one last case, Maisa Shehoya Kachoya. A person took $100,000 with a hetariska. Now this happened, many years went by, and 10 years later, the fellow brings him to Beis Din and says, remember that deal we did? Well, you never paid me back. So you owe me the $100,000, plus, again, let's say it was 10% interest, we'll ignore the accruing, and therefore you owe me another 10 years of interest, that's another you owe me $200,000. The borrower said, you know I took the money from you. It was a very long time ago. And I don't remember if I paid you back or not. What is the halacha? So, Bari V'Shem, Zokta Noi Deb Yehuda, let's split this into two halves. As far as the principal, the $100,000 that you took, you're conceding you took the money. You're not sure if you paid it back. So what's that? That's any idea. In Paratich. The halacha is, if the lender is saying, I definitely gave you the money, you're not sure if you paid it back, the halacha is, you're chayiv. Chayiv yidei adam. That's on the principle. What about the interest? The interest, you're saying what? You're saying, I may have returned this 10 years ago. I may have never become obligated in this money. So even though the investor, lender, is very sure, he's a bari, you owe me the $100,000 of interest, but here it's any Dan Mischayafti. I don't know if I ever became obligated, and therefore Zakta Noid of Yudah on the second half, any Dan Mischayafti, you're going to be Potter. You may have a Chivat Sidei Shemayim, because it's a Bari Veshema, but as far as Bidei Adon, Bezin cannot force you to pay because any Dan Mischayafti. This is the Psak of the Noid of Yudah. The Pesach Chuv is unconvinced. Why? Because it's true. If someone comes over to you and says, you took $100,000 from me, and you say, I don't remember. Maybe yes, maybe no. Any DMs chayav, you're going to be pater. But in this case, we're talking about an iska. On the principle of the iska, what's the halacha? When he says, you know you took it, you don't know if you returned it. What's the halacha? Any DM pratich, you have to pay. Zagde Pisle Tshuva, what that means is, Bezdin is paskin, and you took this iska, and you never returned it. If you never returned the money, then for 10 years, this partnership has been going on, and you have to either give him half the profits, either make a shvuah, what it is, give him the 10%. But once on the issue of the principle, it's any day in Paratich, and Bezin paskins, you owe the money, the Isko, the profits, flow naturally from that. It's not a separate issue. And therefore, the Pesachei Tshuva suggests that the halacha would be not like that. Since on the principle you have to pay, it's an edim paratich, on the interest as well, you'd have to pay, or you'd have to make a shvuah to establish exactly what the profits are, what you owe the other person. The whole thing. Now, it happens to be a separate sugya of a choiv yasha, and if you wait 10 years before you collect the debt, so then it raises machlokes whether you can collect it, or whether Beis Din assumes something, you know, something happened, there's actually a difference between whether it's accruing interest or not accruing interest. That's a separate sugya. But I'll call upon, in putting that aside, when we don't have that issue, the Noid of Yehudim is machalik between the principal and the interest as far as in edem nischayav to in edem paratich. Pesachei Tshuva argues because one flows from the other, he says the whole thing would be in edem paratich and you'd be chayiv, or at least you'd have to make a shvuah. So these are the cases of Bari Veshema, Enidiyam Mischayati, and Enidiyam Peratich. There is a separate issue, which is surprisingly common. It's what happens if two parties come to Beis Din, and they each tell their tale to Beis Din. But what comes out is that each person's story helps the other party. Now, in a simple case, you have sometimes people will come to Beis Din, one person will say, you know what, I'm pretty sure I borrowed money from you, I owe you money. The other person would say, no, you paid me back. Or a person would say, I sold you this thing, you know, and the other person said, no, I never, you know, I gave you matana. The other person says, I never received it. Now, again, this is not, I will concede, this is not what your typical dentaira looks like, but these questions do come up on occasion. So how do you deal with this? On one hand, hoidos baldin kime edim dami. If a person comes to Beis Din and makes a confession, or hoidos baldin, he says something which is hurting him, which is against his, works against him. So that is kime edim dami. You're believed as if 100 witnesses came in. We accept that as fact, because if you admit it, Beis Din is not going to question it. We're going to accept it as true. Here we have two hoidos. We have two admissions that conflict. I'm admitting I owe you the money, you're admitting I don't owe you the money. So how does Beis Din deal with this conflict? So it depends on the case. In a case where there's one person says, I gave you this field, and the other person said, I never got it. There the halacha is, we give the field to the recipient. Why? Because if you have a field, you want to give it to your friend. If you want to give something to your friend, how do you transfer something to your friend at Matan? So, you could go over to him, hand it to him, or make a kinyan with him. That's one way of doing it. On the other hand, if you want to give a matana, you can be zakon l'adam shloi b'fanov. You can go over to somebody else, and he can give you a sudr. You can be makna to him without his knowledge. In that case, Gemara and Gittin says, we assume that the person who wanted to give the field gave it, but he was mezaka yedei acher. And therefore, the recipient that says, I never got it, it's true. To the best of his knowledge, he never got it. Because he has no way of knowing. It was done behind his back. And therefore, although we have a hoidos baldin, I never got it, Beis Din says, that hoidos is a mistake. You simply didn't know that you got it. There was zochel adam shloi b'fanav. Now, this sounds like a very theoretical case, but this is very, very negeya in many dinei Torah. For the following reason. Many shtaros, at least in Lakewood, when you have a contract, so, as we've mentioned over the years, when you sign a contract, very often there'll be problems with asmachta, there'll be problems with kinyan dvarim, there'll be various technical halacha problems with the contract. One way to resolve asmachta and some of the other issues is to write at the end of the shtar that you're being the hoidos baldin, that you're admitting that a kinyan was done in a Beis Din choshev and that gets rid of asmachta. Now, if I make an asmachta, I say if I breach the contract, I'll pay you a certain amount of money. That is very often an asmachta. We say it's not serious. But if you make a kinyan in front of a Beis Din choshev, that gets rid of asmachta. Once you go to such an extreme, you make a kinyan in a Beis Din choshev, we see there's a gemiras das, and it's binding. Now, if you want to, every time you sign a contract in your lawyer's office, have a Beis Din choshev on call in the attorney's office to make a kinyan, wonderful. But that's not always so practical. Zok the smat, there's another etzah. As long as you make a hoidos baldin, you admit that you made a kinyan in Beis Din choshev. Since hoidos baldin kimei edim dami, Beis Din will, once you make a hoidos, that will be accepted as fact. So even if you really didn't make that kinyan, nevertheless, once you're moida, you made a kinyan in Beis Din choshev, that's good enough. Now, and therefore, if you read carefully, the end of the shtaris was when there's an agreement of validation. Very often, it says, "I moidu b'idos b'aldin that I made a kinyan bebezin chasha." Now, what happens if you have a din Torah? One party, they come in with a contract, and it's an asmachta. So the party that's trying to enforce the contract says, no problem. It says over here, a kinyan was done, bebez din chashev, and therefore there's no asmachta problem. So you turn to the Baal Din and say, okay, very, you know, interesting. I'm glad you had someone competent write up the shtar, but tell me, did you actually go to a bebez din chashev and make a kinyan? And he will probably say, absolutely not. I don't know what it means. I never read it. Nothing like that happened. Now here we have a problem. Because we have a contract, we have the person signing Hoidaz Baal Din, he made a kinyan bebez din chashev. But we have the counterparty admitting, very candidly, he never went to a bebez din chashev and the kinyan never took place. So we have a hoidah keneged hoidah. So what's the halacha? As you just explained, the halacha is you're going to enforce the contract. Why? Because when I admit a kinyan was done bebez din chashev, do I need the counterparty to be there? No. I could have signed the contract. And either the day before, they have to go on in front of the bez and say, listen, I have this business deal with Yankel. I'm being makabel with a kinyan. There are all these obligations, all these asmachtas, a kinyan, bez and choshev, and I'm bound to it. So although the other party, when he came to bez was moida, that never happened, bez will say, okay, all that hoidah means that you don't know that it happened. But since you have no way of knowing, unless you're going to argue that you've been staying with this person, you haven't let him out of your sight for the past 10 years, you have no way of knowing whether or not he on his own made a kinyan. Therefore, we will say the shot in this contradictory hodos baal din is that he did it behind your back, and therefore the contract will be enforceable. Right, but the same way when you sit in front of a bez din and make a kinyan bebez din chashev, you know this is for real. Because asmachta, not asmachta, when you do it in front of the bez din, there's a gemiras das. When you make a hoidas baal din that you did a kinyan bebez din chashev, you know good and well hoidas baal din kimei edim dami. There's no way to walk back that hoida, and therefore there's a gemiras das right then and there.
But everyone knows, like I don't know
what's everyone. Adaraba. When there's hoidas baal din, bez din doesn't have the right to go ahead and say we know better. Because when you're coming l'choy v'aslay, when you're saying something, admitting something which is against you, you're kamei edim dami. And kamei edim dami, what you're going to accept as a fact. So in this case, although there's a hoidah, keneged hoidah, we'll assume that one of the parties simply didn't have the facts right, it was done behind his back, and therefore it will work. Now, if the hoidah are direct contradictions, one person is Moida, I gave you this field, I made a kinyan in front of your face, I signed over the deed and you accepted. And the other person says it never happened. So they already, we can't use this shtickle Torah, because you're saying it was actually given to him in his hand. So there we say you probably never gave it. The reason there is we assume that you were planning on giving it, you were thinking about it, and then it just never happened. And that's why people tend to do that. If they plan, if they're thinking about doing it, and especially if time passed, then you can get confused. You thought you did it. But because the person who received it said, I never got it, that's something which is unlikely for him to make a mistake on. So we assume the mistake is the person was planning to give it and never actually gave it. When there's no explanation, when it's just a flat-out contradiction, then the general halacha is, Beis Din is just Shev Al Taaseh. Beis Din won't do anything. Even though we have no way to determine which is correct, no reason to believe one over the other, Beis Din just walks away, and parties can do what they want, or the field, whoever is holding on to it, will stay with it, because Beis Din simply cannot take any action, and we have two conflicting hodas baal din.
And we don't let them go to
the court in that case? No, the court. Each party is, no one's being teveh over there. Each party is saying it belongs to the other person. So it's not a question of tefi, it's a question of Bezin just says, wherever the field is, you know, we're going to leave it. If the person who has it is saying, no, I want the other person, you know, they can do what they want. But Bezin can't do anything because we have these two conflicting hodas baal din. Now, when it comes to debt, if someone says, I know I borrowed $1,000, the other person said, I am certain that you don't owe me the money, there the halacha is that you're potter. Not just because Shev Al Taaseh, there the halacha is when you come to Bezin and tell someone, you do not owe me money, that is a mechila. Right then and there, you're being moichel the money. And therefore, at this point, he released it. You don't need a kinyan for mechila. At this point, the borrower is off the hook. Now, if that happens, one person says, I owe you the money. And in front of Bez, and the other person says, no, you don't. I'm certain that you don't owe me the money. So halacha is that the loiva is pater. If later on the malva comes and says, you know what, I thought it over again, I checked over my books, and I say, you're right, you taka owe me the money. The halacha is, he's not believed. Since in front of Bezdin he was moido, and essentially he was a moichel in front of Bezdin, the debt is gone, it's wiped out, even if it was a mistake, and you cannot later on try to go ahead and collect this money. Now, nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan is mechadish, that if the borrower believes the lender that it was taka a mistake, if the lender didn't realize it, not that he was moichel, he was just pushing a mistake, he says, lotzei sidei shamayim, the borrower should pay. Bezdin cannot force you, because in Bezdin, a hoidah in Bezdin has a din mechila and a din hoidah. In halacha, we don't have the right to say it was really a mistake in Amasla and we got it wrong. But nevertheless, if the borrower himself, taka, believes that it was an error, the lender did not intend to be meichel, there, lo seis yeshamayim, he would have a chiyuv to repay.
What he says, I really don't think he did. I don't want to take this, I don't think so. And then later on, he realized he did. But at the time, he says, I don't want to take the money because I don't really think you have.
No, that's a different story. If he says, I'm not sure, I don't want to, that's not a hoidah baal din. That's, I'm not sure. And they're ready to say later on, I am sure, that generally will be neman. The case over here is you said you don't owe me the money. And the Sma actually adds, you have to say vadai. You certainly don't owe me the money. Again, the Shach says it's lav dafka, but it has to be a clear hoidah in statement, you don't owe it to me. That will be both a hoidah and a mechila. But once you're not sure, you're just saying, I don't want to accept it because I'm not 100% sure. Then if later on you say now you are sure, there was never a hoidah baal din, and there you'd be able to accept it, especially since the other person is being moida. Now the Aruch HaShulchan adds another chiddush. He says if in a case where Bezdin sees that the lender taka forgot, his example is he's running this huge business, and it's very mistavra that he just partially lost track of the numbers. There he says, Bezdin, if it's clear to Bezdin that the Hidol was a mistake, then they do have the right to be mechayivim even al pidin. So again, this is a chiddush, this is a case where even though a party said something, Bezdin sees it was a mistake, we say it's not a mechila. So that is the Aruch. But in a typical case, when there's a hoidah, there'll be a mechila, and you will not be able to collect the money. Now, let's go back for a moment and discuss some of the other tanyan v'nitan with a choiv. Someone goes over to a person and says, you owe me $10,000. So as we explain, if he says, lahadam, I never borrow the money, meker hadin, he's pater for me, there's no shvua. If he says, if he's a moedim and mitzas, he says, 5,000, I owe you, 5,000, I don't, I only borrowed 5,000, or I paid you back 5,000, that is a moedim and mitzas. And there you have to make a shvuah, whatever you admit that you owe, you have to pay. The remainder you have to make a shvuah. The other example of a shvuah is if you say you owe me $10,000, the person says lahadam, I never borrowed it from you. He's a koifer bakol, but an aid echad comes and backs up the lender and says no, you did borrow the $10,000. So there, even though you're a koifer bakol, nevertheless, since there is an aid echad saying you owe the money. There would be a shvua d'oraisa. Now, what's the halacha if lender comes and says you owe me $10,000? A witness comes and says it's true, you owe him $10,000. So, if you say lahadam, you deny you ever borrowed the money, you have a chiyuv shvua, and you make a shvua that you never borrowed the money, and you're believed against the over an eid echad. Two witnesses will be moitzi mamon, and eid echad can just force you to make a shvuah. If you do make a shvuah, you're now off the hook. What's the halacha if you say, if you tell the person, it's true, I borrowed the money, but I paid you back. And I'm sorry, but you were moichel me. You're moichel me. You gave me a present. Or you gave the person says, I gave you a pikad, I gave you something to watch. And he says, it's true, you gave it to me to watch. But then, 2 weeks later, you'd call me up and you'd tell me we're such good friends. Keep it. What's the halacha? So if you hear the halacha is, on one hand, you're the muchzik. You're holding on to it. I'm waiting to mechit overai. On the other hand, how common is it for someone just to give away a present? Not very. So halacha is, to say mochalti, or gave you a matano, is a taino gerua. You're only believed if you have amigo. Which means like this. If the situation is such where you have the ability to tell the person, lahadam, I never borrowed the money. Or you can tell the person, it's true, I borrowed it, you gave me the item to watch, I gave it back to you. Hechzarti. So in that case, the same way you can say chazarti, you're neman to say you gave it to me as a present, you told me to keep it. However, in the absence of a migu, if for example, let's say witnesses see that you're still holding on to the item. So if you argue and you claim that I gave it back, it's not going to work because we see that you still have it in your possession. So there where there's no migu, we know it was given to you as a pikadon. You're claiming that, oh yes, but a week later he told me I can keep it. He gave it to me as a matana. That is a taina garua, and that will not, there you will not be neman, and you're going to have to return it. It's only when you have a migu, when you could have said hechzarti or lahadam, there you'll be neman. Otherwise, you're going to have to give it back. Zok the Sharon Mishpat says it depends. He says like this. Do people ever give presents? Yes. Not so common, but people give presents. Zok the Sharon Mishpat, if someone comes to you and says, this item belonged to me, and you say, it's true, last week it belonged to you, but you gave it to me as a present. Zok the Sharon Mishpat, but you're the Muxik. It's true it's not so common, but can we be mighty moment just because something is not, your argument is not so common? No. We need proof to be mighty mom. Zok the Sharon Mishpat, but it depends on the case. If we have no idea how you got a hold of this, someone brings you to Bez and says, this item belongs to me. He brings Adam a month ago, it was his. And you say, it's true, but you gave it to me as a present. You're the Muxik. You're both Bari. And halacha is, we're not going to give it back. We're not going to force you to pay it back simply because your story is not so plausible. It's not evidence. It could be it's true, and we cannot be Maitzi Mammon against it. Zok the Sharon Mishpat, what is the case where you need a migu? The case was, we know this was given to you to watch. We know it came to your hands as a pikadon. Once we know you were watching it, now are you considered, when you're watching something, are you considered a mukhsik? Is the fact that you're holding on to it prove anything? No. We know yesterday you were holding it as a pikadon. In that case, to say that it changed, since you're not considered a mukhsik, since you're holding it doesn't tell us anything, we know you got it as a pikadon, now you want to say that it switched from a pikadon to a present, that we're not going to accept. That you have to bring a raya, or you need a migu. But just an argument alone will not work. My she'en kein, if we have no idea that you were ever watching it, your story is, a person came over to me and handed it to me as a present. You're a muxik. It's a chazaka komash tachas yaradim harei u'shaloi. So since you're a muxik, even though your story is not so common, nevertheless, you're going to win. It's only when we know you were a shaymer, you're not a muxik. You might be a tafus, but you never became a muxik because we know you holding it. You're holding it. It doesn't prove that it's yours. There, you'll need a migu. Otherwise, you'll have to pay it back. But so according to the Sharon Mishpat, if we know you had it as a pikadon, you're not now going to switch unless there's a migu. If we have no idea how you got it, you're saying you got it as a present. Then it might be a weak taina, but nevertheless, you're the muxik, and you'll prevail. So he's a marikama, but if a marikama says you stole my lechter, and you say no, I bought it from you, or you gave it to me as a present, since you're the muchzik, so I'm mitzvah chevel v'raya, and you're going to win. You may have to make a shvuas hasis, begin the rabbanon, but otherwise he has no proof. The fact that it was his yesterday that he was a marikama is not enough for metaltlin. Yeah, it might be unlikely, but it could happen. People give presents. And if he was given as a present, he's not going to have a shtar, he's not going to have a raya. So if he's lemuchzik and he says a story that could have happened, unless there's evidence to the contrary, unless you have a raya, you can't be mitzi. It's only when it was given to you as a pikadon, now you're not considered a muchzik because you were holding it as a pikadon for me. They were ready with a taina grua, you're going to have to give it back. Now the Sharon Mishpat actually wants to know about a little bit more of a more questionable case. What happens if the person says, if the Teveya says that I gave this to you as a pikadon, or I gave it to you, you were watching it, I gave it to you as a hava, you're supposed to give it back to me. The borrower says, you know what, I'm not really sure what happened. I don't remember if you gave it to me as a pikadon, maybe you gave it to me as a present. Maybe. He's a shema. Zok l'shar mishpat, but that's already too extreme. People don't give presents that often. And to say maybe he meant as a matano, he says bori. There already we say bori v'shema bori yad. It's vaday it belonged to him. You're saying shema. Maybe he gave it to me as a present. Maybe not. And therefore, in that case, the Shai Mishpat says a suffix, there already you would have to return it, even though because it is it's a tiny gerua, and adrab, we say in suffix moitzim ve'evade, since it was certainly belonged to the Murikam originally, your holding on to it is really a chazaka shein matana. You have no idea if it was given matana, and he throws in it a tiny gerua. He says you will not be nemun. Now other achrayim argue. Then Rabina argues, again, the reasons are a little bit technical. I think we're better off skipping it, but it is a machlokes. But the Shai Mishpat's point is that if a taina, maybe I got it as a present, there it's a taina gerua, and that we're going to ignore. Now, to go back again, if we know you got the money, and you're saying that it was given as a present, there was a mechila, that is a taina gerua, you're not nemun, but with a migu, you are nemun. Now, the Shai Mishpat points out there's a bit of a stira. There's a halacha that if one partner is moichel, if there's a debt owed to two partners, and one of them is moichel and says that my partner authorized me to be moichel this debt, so the halacha is he's not nemun. Problem is, why not? If he has a migu, although it's a taina gerua to say mechila, with a migu, he should be nemun. So the Shai Mishpat actually makes says it's taka machlokes. Others say that no. To say there's a mechila, if you have a relationship with a borrower and lender have a relationship, a lender sometimes is meichel a borrower. It might not be so common, it's a taina gerua, but with a migu we can accept it. On the other hand, when there are two partners and the other one was meichel on his own, they are ready to say that I'm willing to be meichel anonymously, if you will, where my partner will get the credit. They are ready, the nesiva says, that's not mistavro, and that's not even a taina gerua, that has no nemunas. Even with a migu, we're not going to accept that fact. But if it's a question of you being meichel the person directly, where there's a relationship, they're already that would be a taina. So now this is all when we know money was owed, and he's saying you were meichel me, so it's a taina gerua. You're only nemun with amigo. What happens in a slightly different case? Everyone agrees you borrowed $10,000. Your defense is not that you paid back; it's not that he was meichel. Your defense is you had some other dealings with this person, and he happens to owe you $10,000 from that other deal. Yeshli kinegda mimakam acher. What is the halacha in this case? So here too, it's a taina gerua, because right now we have $10,000 debt in front of us. You want to say there's some new debt or some new deal on the side that he happens to owe you that is a wash? So there, you're only nemun with amigo. Otherwise, again, you will not be nemun.
What's amigo?
What? Paraiti. I could have paid you back. I never borrowed the money, depending on the case. But in that case, where you have another defense. Then, if you say I have from another choiv, you are nemun.
Does it make a difference what the deal?
Okay, very good. So let's go through some examples. The simplest case you actually is, let's say you have a deal. You borrow $10,000. Your counterclaim is that either a few years ago you had a deal where there was an investment and he owes you $10,000 back. Money against money. So there the halacha is money is fungible. So if I owe you $10,000 and you owe me $10,000, so instead of me paying you and then taking it right back, I can just do a wash. We can just say, okay, let's just cancel it out. And you can say that I'm off the hook. I don't owe you any money. In fact, in theory, we mentioned 2 weeks ago, that when you come to Bez and there's a fight, you don't, al pi din, according to the Rush, you don't really have to give the whole story. You just have to come into Bez and say the bottom line, I don't owe you money. You don't have to explain why. In this case, if a person says you borrow $10,000, you have the right to make a shvua, I don't owe you a dime. Even though you did borrow the money, but since he owes you money from somewhere else, it's a wash, you can just simply say, shvua, I don't owe you money. And we pointed out today, but they didn't, will not let you get away with it. The Rosh says we have to ask questions, but at least conceptually, money is a wash. We can cancel it out. You know, unless we're being goyver from Karka and one's idiots and one's ziburis, you'll have some cases where it won't be like that. But in a typical case, you can cancel out money, connected money. Actually, just last week, I had a case where there were a number of partners, and they were partners in many real estate deals. A couple years ago, during the crash, some of the properties were distressed, and there was a capital call. Managing member made a capital call. Some of the partners just didn't put in the money. Everyone was strapped for cash at that point. They said, let's just default. And the managing member, in order to save the property, ended up putting money on behalf of all the partners. Time went on. Now, Baruch Hashem, the real estate market is booming. And while these properties are still distressed, there were other properties they were partners with. They were doing very well. And they were throwing off tremendous amounts of cash. So what happened is the managing member decided like this. He went ahead. He took all the cash that was being generated by the good properties and took it again, or at least withheld it for all the capital calls that he had made that the partners never put in. Now, it would seem al pi halacha, he has the right to do that. Because although he agrees on these properties were part that did well, I owe you the money. If he says you owe me money from a different deal, it's all cash, money is fungible, you'd have the right to take the money from here in order to repay yourself for the debt that he owes you from the other deal. They're separate partnerships. The debts are certainly separate. The point that we're saying over here is, if I borrow money from you, and on the side you happen to have hit my car, I have the right to say, you owe me $10,000 from that, I owe you $10,000, I'm going to take one as a piron for the other, even though they're separate. Oh, very good, very good. So here's where things get complicated. In the operating agreement, it said if there's a capital call, everyone has to put in money proportional to their partnership interest. If they don't put it in, it gave the managing member two options. Either he could dilute the investor, or he can put in the money as a non-recourse loan against the membership interest. Now, once it says that, what does that mean? That means that if the managing member pumps in money, it's a non-recourse loan against the membership interest. It means that this partner is not personally liable anymore. It's just a shibud against his membership interest in this particular property. If that's true already, we lost our option to a zegoiva. On the property that's throwing off profits, he's a partner, he's entitled to those profits. On the properties that are doing poorly, it's true there was a capital call, but if the agreement is structured where it's a non-recourse loan, that means he has no personal choiv. He doesn't owe the money to the partner for the capital call. He has the right to say, I'm not putting it in. You put it in as a non-recourse loan or dilute me, whatever you want, it's your choice. But I don't personally owe you the money. If I don't personally owe you the money, this whole idea of zegoiva doesn't apply, and you'd have to pay out his profits because that's something that he's entitled to, but on the capital call he has the right to say, I'm not interested, dilute me or make a non-recourse loan. Now to make this even stronger, this non-recourse loan was accruing 12% interest. So, my high, it's ribbis, everyone here is Jewish. The teretz is, they're being samech on the gris maisha. That if there's no personal shibud haguf, he doesn't owe you the money. It's just a claim against his membership interest. It's like money to an LLC or to a company. There's no problem with ribbis. So Adrabah, I said, if you're going to argue that really he has a personal obligation to put in the money for the capital call, you can't collect any interest. It's a shibud haguf. It's a regular debt. It's ribbis daraisa. Your whole heter is what? He doesn't owe you the money. All it is a loan against his partnership rights in this property. If that's the case, you certainly cannot do a zegoiva, so you're stuck. You're going to have to pay out all the profits, and as far as this capital call, either dilute him or take either interest against his membership share, but to be goiva from other money that is coming to him personally, that you do not have the right to do. Now, this is in a simple case where it's money against money. Now, if you're holding a pikadon, your friend goes away, asks you and gives you something to watch. When he comes back, this item is worth $1,000. Now it happens to be, you lent him $1,000 a couple years ago before Yontif, he never paid you. So over here, it's a little bit more tricky. Because you can't go ahead and just say, it's a wash. Because maybe his wife wants her earrings back. Who gives you the right to buy this item for $1,000? There's a concept of going to Beis Din and doing a gevia, you need a shuma. So there the halacha is you can't just go ahead and keep the pikadon because of the money that's owed. There the halacha is you have to come clean. You have to tell the Beis Din, it's true, I have the pikadon. But as long as you have a migu, as long as you, in theory, could have denied it, there are no edim about the pikadon. If you could have said, I never got it or I gave it back to you, there you have a migu. You can say, I have the pikadon, but believe me that you owe me $1,000 on the side. Migu, I could have just kept the pikadon and denied the whole thing. So you can't keep the pikadon, you have to tell Beis Din that you have it, but as long as you have a migu, you could have kept it if you wanted to be a crook. Then you're believed with a migu to say you owe me the $1,000 and pay up, and then I'll give you back the pikadon. Now in the opposite case, where you're holding on, you owe someone money, but he has your pikadon. So in that case, you have to be a little bit careful. If he denies, he says, "Lahadam, I never got it from you." He's a ganav. He owes you at least the money back. And then you can keep that money, the money that he gave you, as a tamura for the value of what he stole from you. On the other hand, if he didn't yet deny it, there you have to be careful, because since if an oinus happened to the pikadon, he'd be off the hook, and you would still have to pay back the money that you owe him. So therefore, you have to first ask him what happened, see if he says it's an oinus, you have to pay back the money, because you can't really be makish him. It might be true. He makes a shvua, and then you'd have to pay him back. It's only when he denies it and tries stealing it, and then already you can take the money, keneged the pikadon. Now this leads us back to the Ktzais and the Nesivus and the Shach that we briefly mentioned last week. And that is, what's the halacha if we know, everyone agrees, Reuven borrowed $10,000 from Shimon. He borrowed $10,000. When Shimon comes to ask for the money back, Reuven says, you know what, I'm not sure if I owe it to you, because we had some other dealings a few years ago, and it's possible, he's a Shema, it's possible you owe me money because of that deal. And if you did owe me the money, so then the money that I borrowed from you is just going to come to pay that. I don't owe you a dime. So in that case, and if the other person says, no, lahadam, I know that deal, I don't owe you a dime from it. So there the shach says, you have to pay back the loan. Why? Because we know for sure you borrowed the money, you owe it back. You're saying, shema, maybe there's some other chayiv. That other chayiv is bari v'shema. Since there's a cheskas chayiv, we know for sure you borrowed the money. We have no clear evidence that anything was done to wipe out that chayiv. The halacha is you have to pay. What's the halacha, on the other hand, if neither party is sure? If you is sure about what happened. You know, if you borrow the $10,000, that's a given. You definitely borrow $10,000. But the lender himself is not sure. It's possible that he rent 5 years ago, we Taka did a deal together. And I don't remember. Maybe I Taka owe you $5,000 from that. Neither party is sure. What's the halach? So in that case, the shach, the tzeis is medayik from the shach. If you're a shema, if the tevei is a shema, he says, then you don't have to pay. Because since, again, it's true you borrow the money today, but since no one is sure whether you really owe it back, because maybe 3 years ago something happened and he owes you money from then, since no one is sure, the shach and the sivas both say you're off the hook. The Ktzais argues, and he says like this. Right now you borrow $10,000. This $10,000 you definitely owe back. What's your argument? Your argument is, you know what, we have another deal, there's another deal that could wipe that out. Are you neman to say normally that if we know that you owe money, are you normally neman to say there's another deal to wipe it out? No. You're only neman when you have a migu. Otherwise, to bring in some new facts, some new defense from some other deal, it's a tana gerua. You're only believed with a migu. Zok d'ktsois, if you yourself don't remember what happened, do you have a migu? No. Migu is only when you say something, this is what happened. We're not sure if we're going to believe you or not. Since if you wanted to lie, you had another story, we'll accept this argument. When you yourself are unsure, there's no din of migu. And therefore, Zok d'ktsois, since everyone agrees you borrowed $10,000, there's a suffix, maybe there's some other deal that would wipe it out. Since you're a shema, even though the other party is a shema as well, you lost your migu, and you can't use it as a defense. So you have a case where, this is a fascinating case, where no one is sure whether money is owed or not. Nevertheless, since we know that we were borrowed, and the suffix is on an outside deal, the halach is your chayev al pidin, Bezdin will force you to pay, even though the malva is not sure whether it's really owed.